This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Kurt Blades. Kurt is Senior Vice President for Industry Sectors and Product Leadership with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, or AEM. We will recap the year and look forward to manufacturing in 2022 in just a moment. World Ag Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekinowski right now on strong cotton prices.
The market for cotton, again, last year, especially early in the pandemic, prices kind of cratered because of uncertainty about demand and, you know, the long-term implications of the pandemic and all of that kind of uncertainty. But cotton demand has remained strong. People continue to buy a lot of clothing and textiles, and China continued to be a, you know, a major importer of U.S. cotton. So prices have been strong really since last summer, right up through the current marketing year.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Kurt Blades. Kurt is Senior Vice President, Industry Sectors and Product Leadership with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, or AEM. Kurt, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
And background for AEM. I know every time you and I have the opportunity to talk, I give you this opportunity, but I know it's because from time to time, some people who are tuning in might not know who AEM is. So what's your elevator speech there?
Well, AEM is the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. We represent off-road equipment in five sectors: ag, construction, forestry, mining, and utility. And in representing those industries, we do a lot of work, you know, in Washington, D.C. and around the state capitals, as well as in Canada and the individual provinces, as well in Ottawa, around advocacy and regulatory work. But we also, you know, put our members together to talk about things like standards and making sure that the equipment is safe to operate, that it is interoperable, that we've got a good workforce. And as it relates to what we're going to be talking about here, we provide a nice place to collect market intelligence and market data that we make available certainly to our members to help in their businesses. But we also like to make available to the public to give a pretty good indication of what the equipment market and the ag market in general look like.
Well, let's build on that. Now that we're into 2022, opportunity to look back at 2021. And I guess as we do this, we can compare it a couple of ways. We can compare back to 2020, or we could compare to maybe a five-year average. But when we look at the numbers for 2021, was it a strong year for manufacturers?
Oh, I think all of our members at AEM, whether it's the largest multinational companies or the small short line manufacturers, would all say that 2021 was a solid year for ag equipment. It wasn't without its challenges, but it was a solid year kind of across the board. And that's largely because the ag market has been pretty solid across the board. Farmers have had a lot of optimism. They've made a lot of money and they've done okay. But also you think about capital equipment, you know, a lot of tractors are used on farms, but there's also a lot of tractors that are used, to take care of properties. And with a lot of goods during the pandemic that have been focused on the home, those markets have been really strong during the pandemic, where maybe someone had some disposable income that they instead chose to, you know, maybe invest in a new tractor rather than a trip to Europe. So the market's been able to take advantage of that over the last, really the last 18 months. Now, the downside of that is the demand has been strong, and you can't open up any newscast or newspaper and not hear about the supply chain challenges, and they're very real. So when you couple strong demand across the board with the supply chain challenges that are very well known, you're going to have some availability issues that I think probably many of your listeners have seen as they've driven past dealer lots or even tried to purchase a new piece of equipment.
Sure, we talk about those smaller tractors, utility-type tractors, maybe the under 40 horsepower, two-wheel drive pieces of equipment, and just how popular those were as the pandemic kind of set in. That's not usually one of those where you'll have a landowner or a producer go out and buy three or four of these. I mean, it would at least appear to me that maybe once you've got that new piece of equipment, you're kind of out of the market for just a little while. Is that an accurate statement?
I think there's a bit of truth to that. And I think you might even be seeing that now where maybe that market's starting to be satisfied. But let's just kind of look at some of the numbers. I've got them in front of me here. In December 2019, when we were looking at the year-end numbers for December 2019, we sold a grand total of 163,000 tractors under 40 horsepower. At the end of 2021 in December, we sold 215,000 of that same class of tractors. So clearly there's a lot more tractors in that market. And I think you could say, well, are we going to satisfy the market? Is it being satisfied? I think the answer is it's starting to be satisfied, but I think also our society's changed a little bit. People sort of recognizing that they sort of enjoy being home sometimes. And so I think it's going to continue to be a strong market like it has been for some time. But what I really get excited about when we talk about tractor sales is what has been growing with the larger tractors. What started as being a growth cycle for the small tractors, well, you start to see those ag tractors also looking pretty strong. That's a pretty good indication of farmer sentiment and people feeling good about where the economy is going to go.
So let's break down some of those. And I know your numbers break down not just on two-wheel drive, but four-wheel drive as well, with the different horsepowers in that two-wheel drive farm tractor segment. So the growth, would we see double-digit growth year over year?
It is growth across all segments. So I'll just kind of roll through them if you don't mind. Under 40 horsepower for the year of 2021 over 2020, up about 9%. 40 to 100 horsepower for the year has been just over 10%. 100 plus horsepower tractors have been up over 24% for the year. All of those combined, when you sort of break those down by the class with the total numbers, or the whole segment is up 10% for the year. Then we put the articulated four-wheel drive. So those are going to be big four-wheel drive tractors. Those are up 18% for the year. That's a smaller volume, but still representing about 600 additional units were sold in that class this year than what were sold last year. And then finally, we also track combines. Combines are up 1,200 additional units in 2021 versus 2020. That's representing about a 25% growth. Now, you look at combines and articulated four-wheel drive. I love talking about those two in particular because the cost of entry for either one of those pieces of equipment, pretty high. So a farmer's got to feel really good about what their future holds for them to make that capital of investment of, well over $500,000. They got to feel good not about the crop this year or next year, but really the 5 and even 10 year prospects. So that's where, a lot of times people will look at these capital markets as a good indication of farmer sentiment. And it's pretty accurate. It's proven to be pretty accurate over the last few years.
So possibly one thing that we could deduce from this is that the strong net farm income over the past year, which, by the way, really kind of came on. I mean, we went from basically a negative net farm income to a positive net farm income over an 18-month period, maybe gave the opportunity for some of those larger producers to make the investments that they made in 2021 then.
Well, I would say it's not just limited to large because, I speak about new equipment, but as you know, the used equipment market's been pretty solid, and it's been solid kind of across the board. Now, what I would say is that the equipment fleet has some age to it. And when you kind of look at averages, we're actually dealing with sort of an older fleet than we've been dealing with for a long time. So that's where, we've kind of been working in a replacement market for the last 5-10 years. So when you see some, improvement on both the top line and the bottom line of farm income, I think it's when you see some of that capital equipment being made into equipment. Now, it's also worth saying, and I'm sure you're hearing this from all your farmers you talk to and anyone that's involved in agriculture, is knowing that there is very real inflation in input costs, whether it's fertilizer or your crop inputs of any shape or form. I think we've done a lot, historically, tractor sales track almost one-to-one with the price of corn, and that usually works really well. I think we've seen that for the last few years. But knowing that there's so much pressure on the bottom line of farms right now with that the higher price of input, I think we're going to, be paying a lot of attention to the overall profitability of the farm sector in the next few months, and we'll see how well farmers continue to do. I know they're optimistic. Certainly hope that their bottom lines reflect that optimism for the next year.
Yeah, you've outlined some of the challenges moving ahead here in 2022, and speaking of moving ahead in 2022, AEM, part of the Commodity Classic, which is coming up in New Orleans, will equipment manufacturers be there?
Absolutely. If you wouldn't have asked me the question, I would have added that at the end, that if every one of your listeners needs to make plans to be in New Orleans in early March to attend Commodity Classic 2022. It's going to be a lot of fun to get back together. But it's also going to be a lot of fun to see some of this new equipment that, is even made in the consumer press, that is just really exciting. I mean, you talk about a fun time to be in agriculture when you've got tractors that can drive themselves or sprayers that can, control down to the inch and sub-inch level. That's a fundamental change. And being able to see that technology on display and even interact with the folks and the brains behind that equipment, that's a pretty neat opportunity for a farmer. And certainly farmers that are wanting to be in business for the next few years to get an indication of both the equipment needs that they have for today, but also what they need to be planning for in the future so they can have the most efficient and sustainable operation they can possibly have.
Kurt Blades is Senior Vice President for Industry Sectors and Product Leadership with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Find them online at AEM.org. That's AEM.org. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show is the oldest and largest event in the beef cattle industry, and we're headed to Houston, February 1st through the 3rd. Everything's bigger in Texas, so you can't afford to miss the massive NCBA Trade Show. Engaging speakers, outstanding education, all for the beef cattle industry. We've gone to Texas for CattleCon 2022, February 1st through the 3rd. Visit convention.ncba.org for more.
What happens when Fendt and Livingston Machinery work to make your tractor buying experience the best in the industry? You get a 3-year, 3,000-hour full machine warranty, all scheduled maintenance, and a loaner guarantee, all at no additional cost. The Fendt Gold Star program is setting the new standard in customer care. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Kurt Blades with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like at Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Dad, what are you doing?
Cramming for college.
I'm the one going to college.
Yeah, but we need to figure out how we're going to pay for it all.
Discover Student Loans.
Discover does student loans?
Yeah, they're one of the top student loan lenders in the country. It takes 15 minutes or less to apply, and there are no fees for the life of the loan. Best of all, I can earn cash rewards if I get good grades.
Really?
Yeah. We still have time to apply and get a great rate.
So I can just chill. College kids still say that, right?
No one says that, Dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. Limitations apply.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. You can find the Association of Equipment Manufacturers online AEM.org.
When it comes to farming and dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
As farmers and ranchers, stewardship of the land comes naturally. Your work keeps our water clean, improves the soil, and enhances wildlife habitat. It also provides countless benefits, not just for you and your family, but for millions of Americans who depend on this region every day without even realizing it. Thank you for being stewards of America's prairie for all of us. Take a moment to find out how conservation pays. Visit conservationpays.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
USDA's January WASDE report takes a look at the global situation for cotton.
The dominant change to world cotton production this month is the change that we made in the United States, smaller U.S. supplies.
That was World Ag Outlook Board Chair Mark Jackanowski.
We raised our production forecast for Australia, where conditions have really turned around from a couple years ago, where they were suffering under a multi-year period of extreme drought. Now, especially in the cotton production regions, they're getting abundant rainfall. Conditions are great. Reservoirs are replenished.
Elsewhere,
China cotton production is up as well. We raised our production forecast by 300,000 bales. Down a little bit in India, offsetting. Reduced our production forecast by 500,000 bales there. And when you add it all up across all the countries, including the U.S., global cotton supplies have tightened up this month by about 600,000 bales.
This is Stephanie Hope in Washington, D.C.